The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 142. And John, what do we got for a title this week?
The last book you'll ever read.
Nice. Last podcast you'll ever hear.
End of the show, folks.
Yeah, that's the end of the... It almost was. The show that almost wasn't. Oh, we get into that. You'll hear very interesting open when we get you into the store. But yeah, the checkout this week, we had two really good books. Great discussion between the two of them. A great discussion on how we came up with our show title. But in a quick show. Nice, tight show. Under an hour and a half, John.
It was the shortest show we've had in a while.
We also recorded it twice.
So true. For us, it was almost 30 minutes longer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily. Yep. So we're getting better at this, John. Almost 3 years at it. We're getting it. Yeah,
you think we wouldn't still have these issues, but we do.
No. We're not that bright, John, or at least I'm not. So I think you're going to start assisting a little bit more as we go along so that we don't have these issues. Because you're getting more and more aggravated, but you play it off so well. You keep smiling. You're so happy, but ready to kill me. All right. One more time. John, what was your favorite part of the show?
All the stuff that we recorded that you guys didn't hear. that was my favorite part of this.
It was gems, John, gems.
That's why it's a tease.
It's a tease. All right, let's get them into the store so they can hear what they didn't hear. Hey, Johnny Hurricane!
What's up, DJ?
Not much. Heard you got a generator. Okay, check that joke off.
I did.
All right. I love listening back to my podcast. That's a lot of fun. I get the jokes the second time around. Check that joke off. Okay. Johnny, I know you're mad at me.
I'm scared.
Okay, we'll talk about that one next week. Let's see. What else do we got going on? John, can you hear the sound? Yes, you can. How about... we got a new sound. Oh, let me... Here, all right. All joking aside. Not really, but... once again, my fault, my bad. We just did 20 minutes of a podcast. I never hit record.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're recording now.
So you guys just got a quick rundown of all the jokes that we made the first time around.
We had an absolute blast.
We did.
Yep. So we'll touch on some of those next week. But one thing I do want to get to, John, surprise, surprise. No, you already knew this next week anyways.
Yeah.
My daughter got engaged.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. And
thank
to you
again.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. She graduated. We had her graduation party this past weekend.
Yep.
Huge. I mean, we were excited for that. But the weekend before, on Saturday, her boyfriend, now fiance Greg, contacts me, decides to, you know, does the proper thing and asks my permission. I made him sweat it out. Yeah. no. He asked me on Saturday. So then that sends me and Jen into the, well, okay, I know it's going to happen, but when is it going to happen? Is he doing it this day? So we spent the whole day Sunday wondering when and where, like, when he's going to do it. And oh, I didn't even tell you this in the last version. So the whole day, Jen's got the Find My iPhone out, and she's, right, like, seeing where Meg is, because they had a different graduation party to go to that weekend. So she wasn't home. She stayed down at their house, and when she stays over at their house down in Rhode Island, she has her own room.
Right.
So he had planned on asking her that morning or whatever, but Jen kept saying that as soon as he asked her, Meg was going to text a picture to her. That's the way she is, and she'd be so excited she couldn't keep it a secret. And I was like, no, I think they're going to get in the car, and they're going to come see us, and they're going to, you know, come in and present them the ring and everything in person. And, of course, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're out to eat. Jen's tracking the phone, and she's getting closer. She's getting closer. I'm like, she knows. They're coming here, because we didn't know if she knew or not all day long.
Right.
She walks into the restaurant. John, I don't know why I didn't tell you this the first time.
You did.
No, I didn't tell you this part.
Oh.
We get it. She's in the restaurant. She comes in. I've been fine all day long. Everything. When Greg asked me the day before, I was like, all right. Yeah, nope. I'm a rock, John.
Yeah.
Meg walked into the restaurant with her hand out. She comes over, and I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I was saving that for this. So it's a reason we didn't record it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's only one other time, like, I broke down in tears like that and with Meg. And she used to do these dances competitions, and she gets to do solos.
Right.
And I go to a solo, and every year, like, I would be working, and I would jet down to wherever the competition was in New England, see her dances, and then I'd get out of there. And this one year, she did a dance solo, and she, the song was Hero, and she dedicated it to me. And I was like, and I didn't know it. And I'm sitting there in the stand, and then they say it, and I was like, oh, God. And then she comes back off the stage. She comes over to me, and she hugged me. And I was like, same thing, same reaction. It was like right in the middle of the restaurant. I'm like, when she got there, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. So I don't know how I'm going to be on the wedding day. It could be a mess.
Well,
it could be, I don't know.
I think you do.
Yeah, exactly. But we're super excited for her, super excited for her and Greg. Great family Greg has and great kid. So we're very, very happy.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep, so that's slightly different than what we just talked about. But
it is.
Let's see, anything else that we talked about briefly before that, you know, you want to talk about?
Well, nothing is organic anymore.
So. No, I know. It's, I go, you're going to kill me. And you're like, oh, what? You're so pleasant. And then I told you, I'm like, we're not recording. Yeah, I'm going to kill you. Sorry. And it wasn't even one of those where, like, we were so far in where I could just find, like, all right, hit record and go. And
yeah, no, we were a good 20, 25 minutes in.
Yeah, we were well into our, we've got a new, you want to just, our new sound.
We do. We've already decided.
We've already decided off air. Off air in rehearsal. That's what we'll call that, John.
Yes.
That was rehearsal. So we should be nailing it now. So you want to get right to our next segment, our new segment, our refreshed segment?
Sure.
Johnny, buddy, what's going on there at Arkham? What's the buzz?
All right.
Next week, we'll tell you where we came up with that sound.
Yeah. This should come as no surprise to anybody, especially you, DJ. That Netflix has renewed Sweet Tooth for season 2.
You don't say.
I do say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Once again, no word on when this is going to go into production or will air, but being that the star of this is a young boy who won't stay a young boy forever, I would imagine they'll quickly get into production on season 2 and or
3.
Hello,
Shazam.
If they decide to go that route.
Right.
So, yeah, like I said, season 1 did phenomenally for Netflix, so this is pretty much a no-brainer. And this... still quite a bit of story to tell. It was like 45, 46 issues of comics. So, and like I said, I believe the end of season 1 really just coincided with the end of the first graphic novel. So they could do multiple seasons of this if they want to.
Yep.
So yeah, looking forward to that. I think, you know, I'm not as excited for it as I would
as
have been
before
I read all the books.
See, reading isn't always good, John. That's what
it's
I
not always
say.
Fundamental.
No.
So,
No.
All right.
That's a new joke. We didn't do that it one last time. Okay, let's move on. And I heard it.
I'm trying to freshen things up, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
For just you and I, because this is all fresh for everybody else. But you and I are the only ones that are bored because we've said all this stuff twice.
I know. This is actually our 143rd show now.
Right. Whew. Well, I don't know, because we had many in the beginning that went seven or eight shows before we got one.
That's true.
Okay. Next up, Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall are both set to leave Doctor Who after the upcoming 2022 season. Jodie Whittaker, of course, plays the 13th Doctor, and Chris Chibnall is the showrunner. They both came onto the show together, and they are leaving together. So it looks like in 2022 we'll get a shortened, I think they said, 5-episode season with 3 1-hour specials airing throughout the remainder of the year. At the end of the third special, Jodie will regenerate, or the Doctor will regenerate from Jodie into whoever the next incarnation is going to be. So,
I'm getting into Doctor Who with you with this next season. Quick question. Do they tell you ahead of time, or is it a surprise who the next, like, will we know throughout the year who's going
usually
to be the
news,
next person?
Usually the news, the casting leaks, especially in day and age. Like, we knew Jodie Whittaker was going to take over the role before.
Was she the first female, or?
She was the first female doctor, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, we knew kind of going into the season finale or two.
Yep.
The regeneration. There's always a regeneration episode. That's how they transition doctors. The doctor is immortal. When the body dies, it just regenerates into a new form, which is a pretty ingenious way of being able to recast the doctor whenever they need to without messing up any continuity or story come before. So it's actually pretty. And honestly, they thought of that very early on, because they've been doing this since like the 50s and 60s. So they had a lot of foresight. they're like, this thing's a hit. It's going to go on forever. So we better figure this out.
Right.
Like I said, I like Jodie Whittaker, but
time to move on.
Yeah. Well, I'm always excited for a new doctor because, like I said, the show changes, the dynamic changes, the companions always change with a new doctor. So it's kind of like a new show with all the same familiar backdrop of what you've always liked. So
cool.
So it should be cool. Yeah. Okay.
Looking forward to it. All right.
Yeah. Next up, we have our release date for Hawkeye. Looks like November 24th. Hawkeye is going to debut on Disney Plus. So I know last week we talked about Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel both airing before the end of 2021. That was something that
I made
a joke about it, that they would probably both debut together.
Somebody didn't hear it.
Yeah, at 11:59 p.m. on December 31st.
Stay tuned next week. We'll touch on that one too.
Yeah. But reports that I saw actually this morning talking about Ms. Marvel, because they were actually talking about her power set and how she may not have the same abilities as she does in the comics on the show. Especially like her like giant form that she has in the comics, where she's kind of like Mr. Fantastic in a way. She kind of stretches and grows, and that might be too much for Disney Plus to handle. So she may not have those powers. But buried in that article was also the fact that this probably now is going to be pushed into early 2022. So,
right.
And looking at Hawkeye, November 24th, run for 6 weeks or so, that puts it first week of January. Then you get the making of, so you're into the second week of January. So I would say mid-January, February, we might be looking at Ms. Marvel. So
right. Yeah, that'll be cool. As long as it keeps consistently flowing. Like, we're down right now. We have Bad Batch still going.
We have the Bad Batch.
We'll talk about that later. But it's like, don't you feel like there's a gap here that doesn't need to be there. Like, I feel like What If should be a little sooner, like this week maybe instead of next week or.
Well, and then What If will run probably the same, right? Like 8 episodes maybe, and that puts it October. So we go another 5-6 weeks before we get Hawkeye, it looks like, on November 24th. So So they're stretching them out a little bit more.
Not liking
we know
that.
There's a bunch in the horizon on the horizon though. Like we have a lot of shows in the works between She-Hulk and Moon Knight and Miss Marvel and the Secret Invasion.
Then Star Wars. Yeah.
Then yeah. We have you know, Book of Boba
Mandalorian
Fett
coming next year. Book of Boba Fett. Obi-Wan.
And I guess Pedro Pascal was just talking this week that season 3 is going into production very soon for Mandalorian. So,
I thought that already started. I thought it started shortly after, like Obi-Wan wrapped up. I thought, and that one started or something.
Well, unless
I thought we reported.
I don't know what the
it.
Time. I don't know what the timing of the article was, but
yeah,
you know, sometimes you read an article that pops up on Facebook, but it really came out like 6 weeks
right.
ago.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Look at the date on that, and it's
yeah. Maybe we already talked about it. I don't know.
I don't know. Did we record it? And I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I recorded it and we lost
we
it.
Never
I don't
put
know.
It out there. I don't know. Oh, okay. All right. Moving on.
Okay. Yeah. And this next one also kind of touches off of something we talked about last week. J.K. Simmons, it looks like, is in negotiations to reprise his role as Commissioner Gordon in the upcoming Batgirl movie. You know, whether he gets the part or not is not as important as the idea that somebody else is going to play Commissioner Gordon and not Jeffrey Wright, who is the commissioner
Correct.
In the Matt Reeves Batgirl movie. So once again, we do know that there is a Flashpoint multiverse thing going on. So
right.
we could have two Commissioner Gordons in this show, but it does kind of make you wonder now.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, is this part of an extension of the Snyderverse in some way still, or is this somehow still part of the Matt Reeves Batman verse? We're not quite sure.
What if it's a part of the Marvel universe and he's Paul's I'm just kidding.
Could be. I mean, this could be a branch, you know,
because he's also in that one too.
It could be something that Kang did, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what would be great is if he showed up in the Batgirl movie as J. Jonah Jameson.
And then, right.
yeah. That,
exactly.
that would be yeah, the ultimate crossover.
It's funny. I had this in the show notes as well. Our buddy Tom Bellows, he had tweeted it at us last week, like right when that hit. And it was shortly after our conversation and like our whole conversation on, you know, now how that puts a wrinkle into everything we were saying about Batgirl and all of that. And it's like, well, but that's when, you know, like you said, it's like, maybe there's more than one, maybe it's not. Maybe, I mean, there's many options there. It's just, you know, on face value, who knows, you know, it you have no idea. And that's what's so great about this multi-universe in both the universes, Marvel and DC's now, is that when something like this happens, there's so much to talk about. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, where is he? And him be, as I said to Tom after when he tweeted it, I was like, I don't really care who he plays. J.K. Simmons is awesome anyways.
Yeah. He could play anybody in anything really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
he's just awesome.
Did you see him? And I mentioned this on Twitter. Did you see him in, The Accountant?
No.
Did you see The Accountant?
No.
Obviously, you didn't see The Accountant if you didn't see him in it.
Right.
check that movie out. It's not the greatest Ben Affleck movie, but Ben Affleck plays a...
Is there a greatest Ben Affleck movie?
Well, Good Will Hunting was pretty good.
The
Town,
Argo.
Liked.
Argo was pretty good. But.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
Daredevil.
Daredevil. I liked Daredevil because I loved the home theater part of it. The sound in that is tremendous. But in The Accountant, he plays somebody with like Ben Affleck. That is plays somebody with. He's like He's like kind of like a Rain Man type with numbers and everything, uh-huh. but he's not like Rain Man. He's just more like he's on the spectrum, special needs spectrum, but he's functioning. So he can go in and he can fix all these things, but he's an assassin.
Oh, yeah?
He can awesome. Take – yeah, it's really cool. And J.K. Simmons plays, I believe, FBI. He's been in charge of tracking down this assassin that nobody can catch. So you got to see I really enjoyed the movie. I liked the ending. I liked everything about it. So check him out in that. J.K. Simmons he's just really good in that too. So
cool.
But all right, moving on.
Yeah. So Alex Kurtzman, who is the chief of all things Star Trek at Viacom CBS, has extended his deal with Viacom to continue to produce more Star Trek content for them. This is great news for Trekkies because Alex Kurtzman has kind of been around Star Trek since The Next Generation and has been part of everything that's come since then, most notably the Discovery and Picard, which are ongoing at Paramount right. Plus right now, and the upcoming kind of prequel reboot with Captain Pike and Spock and all of that. So, I love what they're doing with Star Trek right now at Paramount. So having him sticking around and producing more stuff is great news for fans of that. So,
yep. Cool.
Looking forward to more.
Give me more.
Give me more.
I like this next one.
Me too. So I'm sure I'm going to say this. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to say this correctly. Zolo Maridueña, who plays Good Miguel job. On Cobra Kai, looks like he is. Yesterday, this was rumor, and this morning it looked like it was actually confirmed casting that he has been cast in the lead role of Jaime Reyes for the Blue Beetle movie on HBO Max. Apparently, he was on the red carpet for the Suicide Squad premiere and more or less confirmed his casting in this role. So looks like that's a done deal. And yeah, this is perfect. I love Cobra Kai. I think he's great on that show. And obviously he can handle himself with the martial arts and all of that. So
yeah.
I mean, I think this is great casting for him. So.
Yep.
Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think he'll be great. He looks just like him. He looks, I mean, it just even his personality on Cobra Kai, and I don't know. I just feel like it's a role he was born to play.
Yeah. Well, and I was already, like, I was on board for the Blue Beetle movie, but honestly, I wasn't, like, clamoring for it, you know what I mean? But yeah. I'm more excited for it now because I think he'll be great in it, so.
Do we know if we're getting Booster Gold in that as well?
No word.
No word? Because that would be, even if he just makes an appearance and then they just, because that's the one I think that's really going to, they're a great tandem.
They are, but it's not the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle that Booster hangs around with. It's Ted Kord. So, I don't know if the personalities would be the same. But
still, could
I mean, but again,
I mean, they could do it.
Only comic book readers would care, right?
Like, right.
If they put him into the show and made him a friend of Jaime Reyes, most people are just going to be happy with that and not know the difference.
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's more. It is the other version of Blue Beetle that is kind of always teamed up with Booster Gold. So.
Yep. Okay. Actually, where? All right. Never mind. We could talk about it later. Okay. All right. Next.
All right. And last but not least, Marvel's The Eternals will not get a dual theatrical streaming release.
And this will lead us into another piece that we don't have in our notes, but we will talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Big surprise here. I don't think this is a surprise based on current events.
And that's what I mean. Do you think this is reactionary?
I think it is reactionary.
Really?
Because I think so, because especially looking at the fact that we're maybe swinging into, you know, more closures or social distancing and things like that, I think it would probably have been on their plan to have this be dual released.
But that's what I mean, for them to not give it a dual release, and we're heading into like possibly less people going out to the theaters.
Yeah, I don't know that.
That's even worse.
This might get just a theatrical. It might get just a streaming release, right, by the time we get to November.
That's a good point.
It might not be dual anything.
It's not a dual theatrical right. streaming. It just doesn't say it's all streaming.
Right. It just might not get theatrical
that's
at
so
all.
Funny.
I don't think that's
assuming.
What they're implying here, but
right. I don't either.
It could be based on, you know, the way we're going now.
Maybe most of the Eternals has back end deals in there. And that's
like, yeah.
So let's get to that. What did you think of the whole Scarlett Johansson suing Disney, by the way, not Marvel. She sued Disney. What did you think of that?
I'm with her on this, because, like, if you go back to the Warner Brothers deal with Wonder Woman 84, you know, Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins both had their salaries tied into theatrical release for Wonder Woman as well. And Warner Brothers, you know, bit them off a big check because they knew that – you know, releasing it on HBO Max was definitely going to impair their earning potential on that. So I feel like Marvel should have done the right thing here and kind of done the same thing. I don't know what the contract says explicitly because you and I are not privy to that, but it seemed like it was pretty ironclad that this movie would be a theatrical exclusive release, and her earnings would be
Dustin
tied to
over
that.
At Comic so. Comic Talk today. He reported on Saturday on his podcast that he felt the same way as you just stated, but right. then he is seeing reports that it isn't ironclad and that it was implied. That's in the language in the lawsuit. Says that it was implied, and that's the language.
Just lawyer speak for Disney protecting Disney and not, you know what I mean?
No. That's coming from her side. It was implied, saying that it was implied that she was going to be getting the back, you know, a percentage of the back end. That was part of it. So I don't know, but I want her to get her money. I want her to get her side. But at the same time, like, I tweeted out right away when that came out, I was like, there was also a clip that I highlighted where it said for no good reason. It was put better than that, but for no reason, they decided to release it for, you know, in dual release. I'm like, for no reason. How can Scarlett Johansson's lawyer actually type that up when we know COVID's going on? That doesn't even make sense. But
yeah, but honestly, it didn't have to be, right? Like, we had movies, theaters have been open, and yeah. I what was the one that right before that did very well? There was a movie. A month ago that
F9?
Came out.
F9?
Could have been F9.
F9
whatever the big
well.
Release came out prior to this had a pretty strong box office,
right.
indicating that people were willing to go to the theaters. So, like, Disney going to Disney Plus is solely for their benefit, right? Like, that's money that gets subscribers, it gets people on their platform. But I think that they could have gone with a purely theatrical release on this and done pretty well with it. Was it going to do $800 million? Probably no. It probably never would. But it would have done a lot better than it did. I don't know. I feel like she doesn't go to hire a lawyer and open a lawsuit without first having explored talks with Disney, right? Like, I feel like she probably went to them at some point and said, hey, you know,
right,
what are we going to do about this? You know,
right,
like, this isn't going to do what it needs to do. I'm projected to lose $50 million or whatever it was that they say she's going to lose. Like, again, break me off like a Gal Gadot $10 million check or something. You know what I mean? And
right. Well, just say we'll give you a percentage of Disney Plus,
or that, right? Like, why don't you give me a piece of Disney Plus, or give me a piece of?
It should have been talked about ahead of time.
Exactly.
It definitely should have been talked about ahead of time. But at the end of the day, it's like Feige actually backed her.
He did, yes.
After the fact. So it's like she's still in good with Marvel. She's still in good with Feige. Not that, I mean, her character's run its course, obviously.
It has, but, you know, Disney's a major corporation.
Right.
Well, it also doesn't mean she couldn't do other Disney movies in the future, right? Because Disney is not going to stop making movies. It means now she's not going to do any Disney movies in the future. But
You never know. You never know. And it's this is one of those things where I think it's this is how your business gets done. Oh, okay. Yeah. They're not listening to you. All right, we'll just sue them. Disney doesn't care that their feelings are hurt. You know, if Feige's backing her, and he still works for Disney, and he's backing her. So I don't think...
Well, a part of that article that I read where, you know, it talked about him being upset was the fact that his contract was over at the end of Black Widow as well. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay.
So maybe they don't care so much about losing Scarlett, but they might want to keep Kevin Feige happy.
Yeah.
And she could be like the unwitting beneficiary of that, because
I thought he was still pretty big in running the entire MCU.
Again, the one article I read where it said, you know, Marvel boss is unhappy or whatever, stated that his deal was done as well. So I'm sure they're looking to re-up
his. If he's gone, who's running the MCU?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't he like the main name for the MCU? I thought.
He is, yeah.
And the MCU is now expanding into Sony and everything like that. So.
Right.
All right. Let's see. I got something else here. Oh, Geek Gab said this today. Geek Gab News, at Geek Gab News, tweeted, just heard Henry Cavill will appear in the Flash movie. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
That was breaking news today. See, I'm adding buzz. I'm adding some buzz
to Arkham Comics and Games
for you. Talk about that one when the customers start coming in later today.
Yeah.
That's contrary to everything we've heard, that he's done, supposedly, being Superman. But he's also said that he just wants to keep playing Superman.
He wants to keep – he doesn't want to be done. It appears they want to be done with him. So
is he forcing himself into the movie?
Yeah, maybe.
Is he photobombing it in the background?
He's an extra.
Or is it going to be like the scene in Shazam at the end where it's just chest?
It's just from the chest down.
That's him, I swear.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that's all I had. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was all I had. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. All right. We're all caught up now, John.
All right.
All this is fresh. Fresh
this
jokes
fresh
coming.
Content.
Everything's fresh. No need to be
scared
anymore. Oh, all right, John. Are you ready to get to some comics now?
I
think that's what we do next, right?
It is what we do. Some, we do next.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So after the last couple of speculator roundups, the last few weeks we've talked about, I started to
think
to myself that, well, that I wasn't going to include like the 1 in 20, like the high ratio variants on the speculator roundup anymore, because they're not easily attainable by most people. But then it occurred to me that if I took those things off, there'd actually be no speculator roundup, because like everything on here is a ratio variant in some form or another.
What I think is funny is you're saying this to me, and at the same time, I think we have the most speculator books we've had in like months.
Yes,
I think we
but
got
they're
like
all
20 something books.
They're all ratio variants, every right. single one of them. So,
oh yeah,
I don't think we can take them off, but it kind of like it's not like everybody can just go and hunt these because
right.
they're not all going to be easily attainable. But that being said, we're going to start with Marvel and Deadpool Black, White, and Blood, issue number yep. one. It has a 1 in 25 Ryan Stegman variant. This is selling for between $40 and $50. There's an open-to-order cover by James Stokoe that is also mm-hmm. seeing some interest, but is not selling over cover price at the moment.
Okay.
That one should be easier to grab, so maybe do that.
All right.
Hellions, number 14. The In-Hyuk Lee Asian-American Pacific Island Heritage variant that features Psylocke is selling pretty well, so it shouldn't be any surprise that the 1 in 50 Virgin variant of that is doing very well. Also selling for $90, which is almost double ratio.
Yep.
Next is the Immortal
Hulk. It is
Hulk.
A nice cover, both of them.
It is a really nice cover. I know I featured that on FOC a couple weeks ago. I really like that cover a lot.
Yeah.
The Immortal Hulk 49 also has a 1 in 50 In-Hyuk Lee.
That's a nice cover as
Virgin,
well.
Virgin AAPIH variant cover that's selling for between $60 and $90. That one I like as well, but it doesn't look like the Hulk to me. It looks like teen, like boy teen model boy band Hulk.
Yeah. But it actually looks like a young Clark Kent in green.
Well, like, I think it's the
he must work out, John.
He must. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be the other Hulk. I can't think of his name, but the Asian, you know, the Asian American Hulk.
I didn't know there was one.
There is. Yeah, there's he had his own book a while back too. But yeah, there's another Hulk that's in obviously since this is Asian American Heritage Month, it would be that version. I just can't think of his name. Okay, next from DC, we have Joker Presents A Puzzle Box, number
coming
one.
Coming soon.
Coming today?
I don't have an image.
Oh, okay.
Coming soon.
This one has a 1 in 25 variant that is kind of all over, has sales ranging anywhere from $20 to $45. So $20 obviously being a bit below ratio to almost double ratio, depending on what where you look. Mm. From Image Comics, we have Me You Love in the Dark, number one. This is from Scotty Young and George Corona this week. There's a 1 in 25 variant for that that's going for about $40, so almost double ratio. Miles Morales, Marvel Tales, has a 1 in 50 variant that's selling for about $100. So
that's a cool cover, too.
Yeah, definitely double ratio there. And, probably be tough to find. Red Room, number three. There's a couple of incentive variants here that are all going a bit over ratio. There's a 1 in 5 variant selling for around $7. 1 in 10 variant at about $12. But the big winner is the 1 in 15 variant. It's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles homage cover that's selling for about $75. So that's way above ratio for that. Wish I would have ordered 15 copies of that. So, 7 to Eternity, number 17. Two incentive covers here. The 1 in 10 is selling for around $20. And the 1 in 25 at about $40.
Cool cover.
Silk, yes. It's a good series, too. I kind of fell off it a little while ago, but I did enjoy it. I'm probably going to try to catch up with it at some point because it was good. Okay, Silk number 5. There's a NetEase variant that's seeing a lot of sales here, but still selling for right around cover price. But there's a 1 in 25 variant that saw a sale yesterday at $150. And there are several eBay listings today at $100 a piece. So really, really high for a 1 in 25 variant.
Yeah. I like the first one better. I really like that
the NetEase variant. I like that too.
That's a nice
NetEase color. Or NetEase. I don't know how you're saying that, but
that's why I leave it up to you.
Yeah, to butcher it and be wrong.
Yep.
Spirits of Vengeance, Spirit Rider number 1. This has a Bill Sienkiewicz 1/25 variant selling for about $50. I just like saying Bill Sienkiewicz. So,
yeah, I kind of butchered that one last week or a few weeks ago when we were talking about them.
I only know because I've heard it said a few times.
Right.
And I was like, that's not how I used to say it. Let's put it that way.
You couldn't have bailed me out when you were correcting me. You were just like, no, you got it wrong, Deej.
Yeah.
You're like all about correcting me, but now look at you like, oh yeah, all humble now.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thought we were friends.
Yeah. Well, you just told me earlier that you don't listen to my jokes, so
that's a joke for next week.
I know.
I told that was in the earlier podcast.
Oh, that's right. I teased it. Okay. Stray Dogs had later printings of all 5 issues come out today. They're all horror covers that are all actually really cool. This is one of the hottest books out there right now. Most of these are selling for right around cover price, but the 1/10 variant for number 5 is selling for an easy $50. So
it's the Crow.
Yeah,
it's an awesome cover.
Yeah,
awesome.
All the covers are actually really, really cool for these.
Yeah.
So get on these if you haven't.
Well, I'm a huge Crow.
Now's your chance to get out there and get all 5 issues. And it's a great series. I really enjoyed it quite a bit, so it's definitely worth picking up.
Yep.
Transformers King Grimlock, issue number 1. This has a 1/10 variant selling for almost double ratio at $18. Venom, number 35, has a 1/25 for the second printing by Patrick Gleason. And this one looks like it's selling for between $90 and $100. So, again, 4 times the ratio for a 1/25 variant.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, X-Men number 2. We have another hot Asian American Pacific Island Heritage variant.
You got to speed that up. We got another hot Asian.
Oh, yeah, I know. Another hot Asian.
Like, we got another hot
American
Asian
Pacific Island Heritage. Yeah,
Pacific Island Heritage.
This one from Inhyuk Lee. Again, the 1/50 virgin variant selling for between $60 and $90.
Yep.
So,
cool covers.
Inhyuk Lee has these AAPIH variant covers on every title for the next month or so. And to speed things up, the 1/50 virgin variant for all of them is going to sell for between $60 and $90.
All right, look at we're doing next week's shows too.
Just save, time for the next few weeks.
Exactly, that's wicked funny.
Okay, all right. Moving into
you need look to at you. Yes, it's cooking along.
I'm just moving along.
All right,
I'm doing
hey
your part
John,
now.
You ready to get to back issue bonus?
I am.
Go, kid, go.
All
hurry!
Right. Diving right in. Earth 2, issue number 19 and issue 25. This is the first appearance of Val Zod and the first Val Zod in his Superman costume. So, again, rumors that Michael B. Jordan and HBO Max are working on this project have propelled these to newer heights than even what we talked about a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago with these. Mm-hmm. Issue number 19 is now up to $125, and issue 25 is up to about $75. There are some cheaper, lower grade copies available if you look hard enough, but these things are going to continue to climb as long as this project is being talked about.
Yep.
Right. Wonder Woman number 206. This is the first Nubia cover and origin story, and it is selling for about $100 for nice raw copies. Sure. Detective Comics 850. This is the first Gotham City Sirens. It's selling for around $25. Avengers Classics number 8. This is from 2008. This reprints Kang's first appearance. Bet you can guess what happened there. This one is selling for between $30 and $50. So that's pretty crazy considering this is a reprint comic of a book that came out 40 years ago or so. Doctor Strange 81. This is the first appearance of Rintra, I think. selling for about $25 currently. I guess there's rumors that this character might show up in the next Doctor Strange movie. And next we have Exiles number 3. This is the first Peggy Carter as the alternate Earth Captain America, selling now for about $50. Check your dollar bins for those, because it's hot now. And will probably continue to be until the What If series ends.
Right.
Marvel Comics Presents number 158. This is the first appearance of Clan Destiny.
Clandestine.
Destine. Destine.
I get it. I see what they're doing there.
Yeah. Not sure why, but it's selling for about $50. And last but not least, we have Shuri issue number 1. This is from 2018. This is the first solo Shuri series, and it is now selling for about $30.
All right.
Yep.
All right, John, moving right along, let's get to this week's final order cutoff. FOC. Wrong sound. Oh, you like that better?
I like the Batman better, actually, but I don't know if it ties in.
Where did that go? Where did I get that from?
I don't know. No. It's Batman 66. I know that, but
I know. How did I do that? I don't even. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't know, but all right.
Let's get to this week's FOC.
Starting with DC, we have Green Lantern 2021 annual variant cover by David Nakayama. Harley Quinn 2021 annual by Derek Chu. And Suicide Squad, the Derek Chu cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's a cool
Derek's cover. Working on, he's done all the Harley variant covers for this new run. I like his artwork a lot.
Yeah.
But I like this next one as well. Suicide Squad Get Joker number 2. Jorge Fornes has a pretty cool variant cover.
Is that well. Are they going back to the oversized on that cover?
Yes.
It's not the same. It's more square than a standard comic.
So yeah, issue 1 comes out today, and it's it's Black Label. It's back to like the Batman Dam size.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
Cool.
Okay, moving on to Dark Horse. We have Last Flight Out, issue number 1, with one cover.
All right.
Image has Ant, number 1, with multiple covers. Okay, apparently I cut and pasted this wrong, but there's a new series from DC all the way down here in the Image section. Batman Fear State Alpha. Has multiple covers.
As long as my images are in order, I don't care what you do. I just do what you tell me to do. And I
I'm reading Batman. What's Batman doing all the way down here?
Yeah, exactly. So, in new series.
Yeah. All right. From Marvel, we didn't have any variant covers available today. But there's two new series. There's Dark Ages, issue number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries with multiple covers, and then Demon Days Cursed Web number 1 with multiple covers. And then finally from Dynamite, we have another Red Sonja reboot, number 1 issue. This one by
coming after your money, John.
Well, this one's Mirka Andolfo, who's kind of hot as can be right now, and so this one should do well. And there's the standard Dynamite number of covers for it. So,
all right.
That is it for FOC.
All righty then. All right, you ready to get to check out?
I am.
All right, John. Looks like you put them in the correct order. This is a good week. I don't know. I don't want to spoil things because I don't know what you're going to say. So
there was a couple of there was some good books this week. Yeah. The first book that I have is Possessive, issue number one. This is a 3-issue miniseries from Zenoscope Entertainment. It was written by Adam Goldberg. I'm assuming this is art by Hans Rodinoff, because it doesn't say. But
yeah,
maybe no, I don't just, know if they were both right. Yeah, I'm not quite sure if they're both writers or what here. But any case, you know this story, DJ. This is the classic, you know, rom-com story here. we have a down on his luck loser guy, right? And you know, he buys the broken down murder house and you know, meets the love of his life. It's a tale as old as time, DJ.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
this is just one of those stories.
Yeah. It's just like Ghost all over again.
Yeah. But all kidding aside, that's kind of what this is, right? Like, I don't know if you got a chance to read this book.
No, I did. You switched things up on me, but I snuck it in.
Yeah, this isn't what I was intending to read initially, but Runes sold out before I got a chance to read it, and I couldn't find it online, so I wasn't able to read that one. So hopefully you – oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
Hopefully you did, but maybe you didn't. Nope. But yeah, this is – this is just it. Like Todd, who's basically a loser, you know, has no job, no prospects, no drive, breaking up with his wife, and thinks he's going to save everything by buying this dream home that turns out to be a murder house and haunted. And somehow the spirit inhabiting this house doesn't even – like he's too much of a loser even to kill, I guess. I don't know. But
how it goes – I thought it was really good though.
Takes pity on him and doesn't kill him. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good.
He can't get anything right.
Right.
And even the artwork, like at the beginning when he goes to see his quote ex-wife.
Right.
And she's like, you smell like you, and now you're reading a comic book, but looking at him, you could smell the alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the, like, they even did the like rosy cheeks and the red nose and stuff. Very subtle, but I mean, he looked like an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I thought he just can't get anything right, but he was trying.
He was trying.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to give up drinking, which is the one thing she said he needed to do, and she would like come back to him. So he didn't want everything that badly, I guess, because he wasn't willing to give up drinking. But I don't know where this thing is going to go.
I don't either.
We kind of know where it's going to go, I guess. But
right.
But yeah, this was a lot of fun. It was funny. I thought the art was good. I enjoyed it, and I'm actually looking forward to finishing it out. So definitely going to read the rest of
it's
this.
Only three. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's only 3 issues.
3 issues. So. Yeah, can't go wrong.
Yeah,
it's entertaining as hell.
Yeah, so. And I'm already a third of the way there, so I'm kind of invested. So
yeah. All right, let's this next one here. Let's see.
Yeah.
What did you think of this one?
Yeah. So the next book is the last book you'll ever read, issue number one. Again, jokingly, don't know if this shouldn't be a number two, right?
I know.
Last book I'll ever read. But any case, this is by Vault Comics, was written by Cullen Bunn, had art by Layla Lace. And so this is. I guess a story about this author writes a book about the breakdown of civilization, and the people reading the book seem to be like transfixed by what she's written there, and it unlocks their baser instincts. And
right.
So this is basically a story about civilization breaking down, people, like I said, just giving into their instincts to kill and maim and hunt and do all these things, and people starting to put the connection together that it may be linked to reading this book. And so the author is doing book signings and is attacked by one of her readers. And, you know, but and you wonder if like if she is aware of what she's doing or if this is a byproduct. But then she hires a bodyguard to protect her while she goes on this book tour and kind of puts it out to him that, hey, you know, like the one condition is you can't read, you know, you can't read my book. Which,
well, she just asked, she said, did you read my book? And then was like, he said, no, unfortunately.
But then
I
she's
haven't.
Like,
goes,
well, that,
good.
She
I
says
want
something,
somebody that doesn't read.
Right, right. So I think that is an indication that she is aware of what she's doing.
Well, it's all over the news. They're talking about like, I thought it, I mean, the book itself, it's very thought provoking.
It is.
Conversation provoking because it's basically the entire book is about, are we responsible for ourselves or can we be influenced by outside influences that make us do things? And I mean, reading this book, especially in today's society, you look at it and go, what's Cullen trying to say here? And it's, I really enjoyed it. I really, because it's like, I'm always of the, you know, I'm of the theory that it's like, you're responsible for yourself.
Right.
It's like the outside influences have nothing to do with it. And it's like, you know, it's so reading this book was just, I really, really enjoyed this book.
I did too.
A lot.
Yeah. Now I had, again, I had already read this book a few weeks ago, but I read it again yesterday just to be, you know, fresh with it. Yeah.
Look at
you.
We
talked about it, but yeah, I liked it. I think, like you said, it's really interesting. There was a couple of lines in there that I can't remember now about, like you said, if, you know, because murder exists in the world, is it okay to murder people and things like that? And it's
right. Because that's the book.
Because that's part of
the book
debate
within
that
the book
are having, right?
Is making people do these things, and they're like, well, that's like saying, like you said, that's like saying just because people know about murder, that's why they commit murder.
Right. And
it's like, no, that's not it. And it's, I mean, there's a lot of good things in there. Like we're all predators, we're all prey. We're all prey, but then we become the predator.
I think that was the line, right? We're all the prey until we become the predator, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there. It's a lot of, like I said, very thought provoking, very, you know, conversation provoking stuff like that. So, I mean, that to me makes a book a little bit extra special when it's a comic book and you're like, that's pretty cool what he's doing there.
Yeah.
So I really like what Cullen's doing there. So,
yeah, I liked it. I like both of these books for different reasons, but I like both of them quite a bit. Yeah. So
which one are we going to, what's the show title?
Oh, I think last book you'll ever read.
it's last well, podcast it's just, I mean, you'll ever hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's the better book. Possessive was just fun and kind of funny,
exactly.
But it wasn't like the greatest thing ever.
Right,
it was
not.
It was just a fun read.
It's not thought provoking like the last book is. So
yeah.
All right, look at that, John. We got a show title already. There you go.
Yeah. We're doing it.
All right. And we'll get to that. What else did you I myself, that's why I read these two books. Super busy. I read nothing else this week.
Oh, okay.
Except I did finish I Long Halloween again.
Right.
Broke out my Absolute Edition. I love the Absolute Editions. And when I was done with that, I went on Amazon and bought Absolute Kingdom Come. That looked gorgeous. I don't know.
Kingdom Come is a great story, anyways, and it's gorgeous. Yeah, you know, Alex Ross art.
Alex Ross art is awesome in the Absolute Edition. But even like what I liked about Long Halloween is that it's flat the pages weren't shiny, they weren't glossy, they were flat.
Although I like matte.
Flat stock. Yeah, matte stock. Really nice. It looked so good. And it went so well with the story because that's what, you know, that's the way it came out in the first place. But the artwork and the high contrast art that they went with in that, and it, the absolute editions, I have a bunch of them. I mean, I can't list them. I have the, what's the Joker one? The, I probably have about 10 of them now.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love them. I love that oversized, and then all the extras that are in there, and they're reading the forwards and everything like that. But beautiful, beautiful books. But yeah, I'm in the middle of, probably at the beginning of Absolute Kingdom Come right now. Cool. Just at the beginning. Read that one a while ago too. But yeah, Long Halloween though, so much fun. And I mean, watching the movie, like I told you about a few weeks ago, I was toying with the idea of going back into it. And then I get to the halfway point of the book and I'm like, do I keep going? I already know it, so why not?
Right.
So I did. And you're like, oh, what are they going to do in the movie? I don't know. It's like, because there's, I mean, obviously there are differences, but it'll be fun. That should, that the new one, Long Halloween Part 2 on DVD should be out in a few weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. Still haven't seen the first part yet.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's really good, actually. I really enjoyed it. But.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't really get a chance to read anything else. And I was planning on, just before we record, I'm like, all right, I'll just sit down, I'll get home from work and I'll read those couple of books. And then you changed it up. So I was like, you know what? I could probably read that, but let me read Possessor. And I'm glad I did. But so what else did you read?
Things that come to mind. I read a lot of books, but
did
it's
you?
Hard to it's hard to recall most of them. But I did read Batman Reptilian number 2. Still not, I mean, I'm still not loving the story specifically, but I love the, like, the dialogue with Batman and Alfred. And, like, I like the way Garth Ennis portrays Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still, like I said, I'm still kind of on the fence with the actual story itself, but some of the dialogue between Batman and Alfred and Batman and everybody else, he just has a take on Batman that's a little different than, like, he's a little bit more cocky than we're used to seeing him, and a little bit more sadistic in a way too than we're used to seeing him. And I don't know, I've enjoyed the dialogue in that book, and the art is fantastic. You know, I really do like the painted art style there. So again, that's enough to keep me going. Like, I'll keep reading it just for that. Even if the story doesn't come around for me, I like enough of it that I'll keep reading it. Let's see. I read Daredevil, Daredevil, which is, you know, still just really good. Didn't do anything specifically awesome per se, but it's still just a great series and another solid issue. So definitely worth reading. And the only other one that stands out is Robin. I read the new Robin issue, and that was also really cool.
That's two books I'm dying to get to.
Yeah, a lot of good dialogue between Damian and Roz that was pretty good. So
cool.
So yeah, those are really good books. Those are the only ones that stand out. Like I said, I read
touch on those again next week. When I
read a bunch of books that just, you know, I read them and just kind of file them away and forget about them. But
right.
Those are the ones I remember. So
cool. All right. Then what do we have coming up next week?
So the Me You Love in the Dark issue number 1, I've already talked about that. I really like this book, so I'm looking forward to reading it again and talking about it.
Oh, okay.
And then from AWA, we have Not All Robots issue number 1.
This looks cool.
So yeah.
And cover looks cool too. The old,
So looking forward to reading and talking about both of those.
All right. That brings us to Real World, John. You ready to get to the world?
I am. Yes.
All right. What do we got? What was on your big screen this week?
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty light week for us this week. Spent a lot of the day Thursday getting a generator installed and without power, so we didn't get a chance to watch.
Oh, really? They shut you down?
Yeah,
they put in power.
They have to shut the power down to run all the wiring through the house for that.
Right.
But anyways, we finished up the last couple of episodes of Queen of the South, season 5. So we are now officially done with that series. It had a pretty satisfying ending. I have to say. Like, you know, a lot of times shows end and they don't always, you know, you're not always satisfied with the way they end.
Right.
But I thought this show did a pretty good job. Now, it knew it was ending, which is always a plus when they get a chance to write their own ending. But yeah, I think they did a pretty good job of wrapping up everything and kind of leaving you satisfied with where the characters end up. So,
right.
So that we finished. And then we watched a show on Netflix called Serpent. And
Oh, okay. It's
just a one and done season. It's 8 episodes. It's more of a limited series than anything. But it's based around this. It's a real life. It's based on a real person and a real life events, even though, again, it's always changed for dramatic right. effect. But there's a guy named Charles Siraj, who was a gem dealer and basically a criminal who operated throughout the Asian countries in the 70s and killed backpackers and hippies and people that were not likely to be missed. So he could steal their identities and travel and do the things that he was trying to do throughout like Thailand and Hong Kong and in all these Asian countries. It was pretty good. It had a bunch of people that I wasn't familiar with. The actress who played the lead, Jenna Coleman, she was one of the companions in Doctor Who a few years ago. So I knew her from that. I had never seen her really in anything else though. But yeah, it was really good. This guy ultimately was probably one of the smartest people I've ever seen, but also one of the dumbest. At the end of the day, he was not very smart.
Hello, about, right here.
About what he did. You know, that led to his downfall ultimately. But the things he was doing, he was a very intelligent guy. And like I said, rampaged through the 70s,
killed
scores of people. Like, they don't even know how many people he killed.
Sounds like one Jen would like. She loves that serial killer stuff.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was a little slow to get going. Like, after the first episode, I was like, I don't know if I like this or not, but I was intrigued enough to keep going, and I'm glad that I did, because as it kept – and it wasn't so much that it was slow to get going. It's one of those shows that it bounces around a lot, and that typically doesn't interest me. Like, I don't like the 7 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 months right. from now. Like, it bounced all over the place.
Yeah.
But once you realized that – in each time frame you were following a specific part of the story, it got easier to follow because you just knew, okay, 7 years earlier, that's when you're following these two people. And once you got the hang of it, it was kind of easier to pay attention to. But the first episode and a half, it just felt like you were bouncing around all over the place as it was setting up all these different kind of timelines and in different parts of the story. But it's definitely worth sticking with, and I liked it a lot. So I think you and Jen would probably enjoy it.
Cool.
But that's it. That's all we really watched.
Serpent? That's that one?
It's called Serpent.
Serpent. Yeah. Definitely check that out.
And other than that, we watched, you know, like the finale of Kevin Can F Himself. We watched that last night.
How'd that wrap up? Nice?
It was actually pretty
good.
Looking
forward
to
it.
Yeah, it was good.
We still haven't done any more, but yeah. That'll be cool.
That was pretty funny. But yeah, that was it for this season. Sets it up for a season 2. So hopefully we'll get one. I haven't heard anything yet on cool. that. But yeah, that was it for this week. So not as much as normally.
All right. I finished Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Yeah.
Or the first half of it anyways. I really like how that ends. Kind of a surprise ending a little bit for the halfway. Like, you're like, all right, I saw all this. Oh, no, I didn't. Wow, that was pretty cool. I don't know if that makes the second half any more predictable or unpredictable. Definitely is interesting. I think the people, the haters, they only saw the first episode. Saw, because it is a great story. I think what they've done here is taking Masters of the Universe and rejuvenating it, really, because I mean, it doesn't all have to be a directly right. about He-Man.
Yeah. A lot of people are really hating on it. But I think if you just stick with it and watch the story, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely anything that people were griping about as far as people not getting enough screen time in the first half are definitely going to get their money's worth in the second half of the season. And like Kevin Smith was, again, he was talking on one of his podcasts, they wrote this to be a 10-episode season. Like, they didn't write it to be split in half and airing months apart from each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's written as a 10-episode story. And the fact that people only got the first half of it is a little bit, like, he's being judged a little bit harshly on that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have any control over how it broke down. And
yeah, it's not like he's Zack Snyder and he can get it to come out all at once.
Right. Right. So
studio wanted it out.
So I think if you watch the whole thing as a 10-episode arc, it would have alleviated some of the complaints people had with it. But I guess we won't know for sure until we see the rest of it. So
right. We're starting back up with Home Before Dark.
Okay.
Did I think 2 or 3 more episodes of that. And I understand what you're saying. I agree with you, but I do like the story though. The story's pretty good about what's going on in the town. But it is aggravating.
I'm kind of forcing my way through the end of it though. I have to be honest. Like even after our last show, when I watched this week's episode, it's getting really, really hard for me to stomach that little girl. Like, she's really starting to aggravate me.
Yeah. So, yeah. I see what you said. I mean, we both said it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. But the story's interesting enough that I do want to keep going with it, but
right.
I almost don't know if there's a season 3, if I'll pick it up or not. So,
yeah, I know. It depends on how they leave you hanging in this one.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes you, I don't know. How many are left for you? How many left in this?
I think there's 2 left.
2 left?
I think there's 10. I think there's 10 altogether. So.
Right. I also saw the making of Loki.
Yeah.
That was,
really cool.
Is he just like, he loves that role.
He does. And like I was mentioning, like him and Owen Wilson together were great.
Yes. Yes. And that whole interaction where they were, it's like when Owen Wilson's like, I've never been asked if I played, any
Shakespeare.
Yeah. And he's like, nobody. He's like, Ben Stiller has never asked me.
Did you ever play King Lear or whatever?
Yeah. Hamlet or whatever. And it's like, but it's like, you just see the difference in their careers, their styles, everything, and how great they are together. And Tom Hiddleston, just the opening of the making of it. What it's called Assembled, right? I think that's it's Assembled. So like how they assembled the show, and his opening to it. It's like, I don't think anybody and none of the other Assembleds is the actor giving a presentation like that.
Right. Right.
I mean, he just loves
that
role.
It's almost like you're watching like a documentary, like a nature documentary or something.
Yeah. And like they even go to like the behind the scenes when he's in the costume and he's like, I've been playing this role for 10 years and it's, but it was supposed to be like a minor character. And he came in with Kenneth Branagh after playing, I think it was Hamlet or whatever.
Right.
And that's how we knew Kenneth Branagh, how he ended up in the first Thor movie. And it's
right. Yeah. And then he pulled a Fraser Crane basically because
right. Exactly.
He wasn't supposed to be that big of a part of the MCU.
But right.
They kind of rewarped the whole story to make him, cause again, imagine how different that whole story would be if he wasn't part of it.
I know. How about him showing up at the Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con and going out on stage as Loki and be like, what is my name? And it's like, I mean, he totally just like let himself be absorbed into that role and just, I mean, he just loves it. And I love it. Cause that means, I mean, obviously we're getting another season, but I'm like, how much more are we going to get? And it's like you said, watch him read the paper. It's like, I mean,
yeah,
he's just
like
great.
I said, he's just so entertaining that
yeah.
it doesn't matter yeah. what he does.
Makes me want to go watch more and more of his movies too. Because he is so
yeah,
because
I've never
so
really
diverse.
Seen him in any in anything else.
I can't remember like, what else I saw him in. It was this serious role, and he was really good. I can't remember what it was,
He
though.
Was in some show, like The Hotel or something like that, and I started to watch it, and I didn't – like, it wasn't that he was bad or anything, but I just didn't
right.
get into the show, so I stopped watching it. But, I like, yeah, I just don't remember –
He was a Anything very serious actor, though. In.
Like, well, yeah, he was
before this.
Yeah, like Shakespearean, like he did yeah. stage work and yeah, classically yeah. trained, you know, actor and
right. And it's kind of funny him and Owen Wilson coming together is like neither of them were on the path to Marvel,
right?
Right, you know, like Owen Wilson, like you said, he did all of like the spoof movies and stuff with. It's like. Just all like comedies and silly movies. And then you have the complete opposite end of the spectrum. You have Tom right. Hiddleston doing like Shakespeare and yeah, here the two of them yeah. meet and they're like, hey, how are you doing? You know, they were great. They were, but yeah, definitely assembled. That's really,
well, the
really
funny
good.
Thing is he also read for Thor, which.
Yes, like, that was pretty
I definitely
cool.
definitely don't see that.
No.
You know, like. He's not Thor, but
nope.
he was the perfect
and
Loki.
They had
because didn't they both? Because Hemsworth
they,
read for Loki too, right? They
yeah,
both
they
read
both
for both
read,
roles.
Yeah, and they had you saw Tom with blonde hair.
Yeah,
and in the role, like he actually showed up with short blonde hair to the
right
to the casting or whatever to his or whatever it's tryout or whatever you call it.
Yeah, to the reads or whatever.
Yeah. But, and it's
auditions.
Auditions. There you go.
Yeah. That's you know,
look,
the word.
Look at audition. Us. Words. yeah. Not easy.
Look at us coming up with words.
Yeah. Oh, man. Remember when we first started and we used to pause, look stuff up? Oh,
yeah.
Auditions. Okay. I'll edit out all that.
Right. Now we just keep going till it comes. I don't know which way was better. Honestly, yeah.
Well, you can't get worse. So
yeah,
it's like, and the other one is I'm all caught up on Bad Batch now. Almost didn't make it. It hit me yesterday. I still haven't, but I was only three behind. So bang those up,
right.
Really good. And as I was binging those three episodes, it like this, it's just so good. It's just I get to sit down and watch Star Wars stuff, you yeah. know, and it's in the Star Wars universe and. It's just, I love the story. I love where it's going, but I love the idea that, oh, we should have put that in the news too. It just keep the Star Wars coming.
Yeah. Well, and there's only two of these left too. So we're almost
That's
done.
Sad.
But, I liked the Hera episodes. You
yes.
know, 'cause again, anything that brings us back around to other stuff we know is always,
right.
You know, I always enjoy.
Yeah.
So, kind of seeing her. As a kid and her origins was kind of neat. So,
yep. Yeah, that was, yeah, really good. A lot of fun. And I don't know how it's going to wrap up. I feel like this is going to wrap up with like, okay, when's the next season?
Yeah. Cause
doesn't
it
feel like
know.
It can't be wrapped up? Cause that,
yeah. Well, and I don't know that this is a one season thing. Like I
right.
think their intention is to go forward. So yeah, I definitely feel like we're going to get left on a cliffhanger or something.
Well, that was my kind way of saying is like, do you feel like there's just been one story that could get wrapped up here? I don't. You know what I mean?
No, this is, there's a lot of moving parts with this.
Yeah.
Right? Because even in that last episode, you know, we saw the Kaminoans.
Yeah.
Kind of.
The El Caminos.
The El Caminos, yeah. Things aren't going well for them. And,
no.
You know, you still have the whole, you know, you got all the bounty hunters still flying around doing their things. So
right. There were a lot of threads pulled on. Throughout yeah. this season that aren't going to be wrapped up. Now, do they get wrapped up elsewhere? Is there another season? It stinks because we were with Rebels and with Clone Wars and all that. We got to binge all that. And
right.
now we're into this, oh, crap, I have to live through this. And yeah. I have to wait yeah. for another
we
season.
Have to wait.
So, but really, really good. That's it for me. We watched a few other things, our regular shows, but that's about it for me. So, yeah. Do you have anything else?
No, no.
Man, John, this is a quick one.
We have no kryptonite, right? Because we're just not talking about anything.
What would you say if I told you I forgot to hit record and we got to do it all over again since it was so quick?
I'd say no show this week. see you next Tuesday. I didn't mean that. Yeah, the way it sounded,
but you did.
But I did. I meant it after I said it. I just didn't think about it ahead of time.
Wow, that worked. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. No, that's nice. Nice tight show to this week, John. Nice job. Yeah. Well, stay tuned next week for the early jokes if I remember to record them.
Right.
Big news.
Now I'm going to have to start looking in the beginning and be like,
please do. This is
do I see recording on the bottom here?
Exactly.
I've never had to worry about it, so I'm not in the habit of doing that.
But you actually did early on. You did say, hit record. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So. It's a two-man show, John.
It's
a give and take.
It wasn't something I had to be aware of.
But it's nice. Now, I mean, look, I forget to hit record on my own show.
I know.
All right. Luckily, I didn't hit pause. I didn't hit a hotkey or something. It's it. All right. John, I like this show. This is my highlight of my week, buddy. I'm not even kidding. I look forward to this so much. And it's, I'm never
scared
to sit down with Tom and chat. So, and we got a new sounder this week. We'll talk more about that next week because we missed out on all the good fun. But in the meantime, for next week, but between now and then, like our buddy Tom Bellows does, hit us up on Twitter. You can reach both of us at brightside_chat. Or if you just want to talk to John because he's your favorite, you can hit him at Arkham Comics, and that's comics with an X on Twitter. Or you can email the two of us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Nobody ever does that, but that's okay. It's free.
Nobody emails, yeah.
Nobody emails. And that's fine because I probably lose them. Because I get on home theater, I get them in both places and I lose some and it makes it a little confusing, but that's okay. Email. Snail mail. That's like the snail mail now, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to hit you up on Twitter and so.
They want real time interaction.
Yeah. And this is, next week. Do we want to do a special show just for Suicide Squad? Are you seeing that this week?
I probably will. I don't have my tickets yet, so I'm not 100% sure.
I'll definitely see it. Or do we we'll just go long next week and do a kryptonite for Suicide Squad? How about that?
I think we'll just do that. Yeah, we'll just go long.
Because John doesn't want
to do this. I don't want to do two shows, honestly. I'd rather just go off.
I know.
It's like doing two shows anyways because we do it all
the same
night.
Well, I was
going
to see if you wanted to jump on this weekend and maybe do it. Oh. But look,
I'm trying to think. I don't. No. I'm just trying to think. This Saturday and Sunday, I'm kind of tied up both days.
Put it out for Monday. Yeah, I've got work to do myself. I'm pretty busy, so. All right, so next week we have Suicide Squad. We'll do spoiler-free at the beginning of the show. We'll do a Kryptonite Key Club at the end of the show. We'll be back to normal with our 2-plus-hour show. So don't fret.
Don't worry.
Maybe it'll be a 15-minute show. Who knows how much we'll record.
Yeah.
All right, until next week, we are out of here. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. And, that's it. What do you got to say, John?
Take care, everyone.
No more live long and prosper, huh?
No, I keep telling you, I'm trying to let that die, but...
I'm not letting you let it die.
You won't let it die.
Nope.
You won't let it die.
That's our ending. You won't let it die.
There you go.
Hey, Fred.
Oh, man. I can't rep. I don't know if I can replicate all that again. But
how about me?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, we'll skip the generator.
Right. Once more from the top with feeling.
Shit. Hey, all the levels.
Yeah, well, all the levels were flat because we weren't recording, right?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to cook now.
Yeah.
Oh, my eyes.
Well, at least we were 20 minutes in and not 50.
I know. So, all right.